Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Survivor Specialist Phil, John, and McKenna are back, and we have another defining episode for you today. It's episode number 3 of our series, and we are talking Colby Donaldson and his defining episode from the Australian Outback, and that is going to be Honeymoon or Not. That is episode number 10 from the Australian Outback, right after the episode called The First 24 Days, which I think is so funny that everybody watching this live, I was one of those people, we watched this and it was, oh man, it looks like it's going to be another predictable season, just like season one. One side has the numbers. We watch a recap and then we come back and we get the first time that somebody is voted off from the majority tribe over somebody from the minority tribe ever. Colby is ultimately the one who makes the decision to do this, right? It's him and it's Keith and Tina who are the trio who make this happen. But what I think makes this Colby's defining episode, and I'll lead with this, is that Colby chooses heart over head here. He can't stand Jerry. He likes Roger and Elizabeth. And even if it's not necessarily better for his game, it's what he chooses. It's what he does in All-Stars when he votes out Hatch, which he should not have done, even though it's totally his idea and it looks like a brilliant move, but he gets the scalp and then immediately gets got. And then it's what happens with him in Heroes versus Villains and why he's on the wrong side of the numbers, because he sticks with Stephanie early on, despite the fact that the rest of the heroes don't like him. So this truly does set the tone, not to mention final three, he takes Tina over Keith. He just can't help himself. He's all heart over head. And that this is really the first time that we see it in Survivor for Colby. So Colby's defining episode, Honeymoon or Not, also very entertaining. So satisfying to watch Jerry go home here. It's just, it's awesome.
Also, his most defining moment is also, it's about him, but also him and Jerry. I think that is a big disservice that Survivor did for giving us three people from other seasons, and we couldn't have gotten Jerry and Colby together. I think Colby without Jerry is going to be Superman in fat suit the entire time. I think he needs that adversary in his season. And going back and watching this, I was like reminded and of how much I love their dynamic and love, all right, it's season two of Colby and Jerry. Who's going to get the better? It's season three of Colby. Like, these are, this is one pairing that I'm actually, I don't think I could get tired of.
Mm-hmm. And especially when it, I mean, it's been 15 years since we've seen the two of them on a season together. Mm-hmm. And that story arc we've seen through Heroes versus Villains for both Colby and Jerry felt very satisfying. But now that we're kind of getting into reboot territory here, we did want to see it all together. And how this episode works is it's Jerry's boot episode. It's very framed through Jerry the entire time with Colby's frustrations. And it all comes down to that reward challenge that kicks off the episode, because this is a reward challenge where McKenna and I have talked about it on the rewind, because they're told, hey, pair off before the challenge starts. And Jerry's like, I want Colby. And that just starts everything off on the wrong foot for her.
Yeah. She wants Colby, and everybody says, why don't we draw a stick? She gets Colby anyway. Colby says, what about what I want? I don't want to do this with Jerry. I want to win, but I don't necessarily want to be with her. I think, though, getting to the point back of, like, it's a defining moment for Colby. It's the defining episode for Colby, but it also is the defining moment of the relationship between Colby and Jerry. The thing is, we see them play all three of their seasons together. Like, they get to a point where they are on the same tribe. We see Jerry get the better of Colby in All Stars. They play together, obviously, in Australia. And then they play together for a good majority of the game in Heroes versus Villains. The thing is, I think Survivor was probably concerned, if we don't get Colby and Jerry on the same tribe, which you can't just start them on the same tribe. We've been talking a lot about how we feel like people are going to be separated. If you're worried about that, do you really trust that two old schoolers from the same season are both going to make it to a tribe swap? Or if there is no swap, to emerge. And I think that is very worrisome, because if you put both of them on and they don't play together, you're probably not going to get great things from at least one of them. And I think ultimately they probably chose Colby because he was the first hero. And I think that Survivor really wanted to focus in on that. Colby's more popular than Jerry. No matter what the internet wants to say, Colby was so unbelievably popular and Jerry was so despised in season two. And yes, Jerry redeems himself by the time we get to Heroes versus Villains, but Colby is still the one that people want to see. He's still the one that people want to root for from the majority of the fan base. So I think that this episode really sets in motion why people feel that way, though. This is really the episode where it's like, oh, thank God they got rid of her instead of Roger or Elizabeth. And it's so simple, right? It's so simple. It is simply voting out the fifth member of your five-person alliance at Final Eight. There's nothing complicated about it. But it's the fact that he would go that route and be willing to do that with this person who is sitting there saying, it might be a honeymoon. It's like a honeymoon without the sex. And Colby's like, I'm just sitting here on the beach. I just want to go to the coral reef. I don't want to talk to her. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he shuts down immediately any strategy talk, any talk about other contestants, anybody, nothing. I just want to sit, have a chill time. And it seems like they do actually enjoy each other's company for a little bit of it. And then Jerry says, like, what she does about it's like a honeymoon without the sex, and it all comes crashing down for Colby, mm-hmm. of like, all right, she's leaving.
And go ahead.
I also, during the challenge, while they're competing, he has no regard for her safety one bit. If you watch at least the final leg of that challenge, he's chucking her over stuff, letting her drop on her back, and it's like he's just like, forward, that's it.
It's so interesting because there's so many times where Colby just disregards Jerry in this. You say it in there. He also has the horrible line in the immunity challenge in regards to the rope in the challenge and where Jerry should put it. And it's just like the frustration that Colby has. And I think that's what we're really seeing when it comes to Colby in this and why this episode defines him so well. Yes, he's this good old Captain America style player that we have seen repeated on Survivor as an archetype every season since he's been there. Like, he defined an archetype in Survivor. That's why he's on 50, like you were saying, Phil, right? He's the first hero. He's that first Captain America that we are still, the latest Captain America from this season is on this season too, right?
Joe's our next episode too. We're doing for this is Joe. I mean, that's our next episode, is talking about essentially the 46th season evolution of Colby.
Yep.
And on top of that, but this episode also shows his faults. This shows his faults and how he can be someone who is very emotional when in his gameplay. Doesn't have a lot of strategy to it. When he and Jerry win the reward challenge together and they're on the helicopter, what does he say first? No strategy talk whatsoever. Mm-hmm. We are not allowed to talk about Survivor. We are just going to enjoy this moment. And that didn't change from the last time we saw Colby in Heroes versus Villains, because we got that exact same moment when he's watching Treasure Island.
Yeah.
I also think it's crazy to call Colby a hero when he breaks the law and takes the coral.
Hey, that's on CBS, right? They like come after him, but he's protected by CBS here. And I think CBS is the one who has to answer to all the lawsuits. But so heroic, he breaks the law to provide for his people. He brings them all back a piece of coral and doesn't tell Jerry, which again just makes him more beloved by the fan base. Mm-hmm. And I think also, though, like everything that we're saying, it boils down to one thing. Colby will always choose to be the better guy, or he'll choose the thing that's going to make him more liked than is going to necessarily be better for his game. He's fine with that. And I think he's proven that in every season, that he's okay with falling on the sword if it means that he is going to do the thing that's going to make his life better and make him more liked by everybody he's around. We've seen that in all three of his seasons. So it's not a facade. It's not something that he just did because I'm playing it up for TV. In Heroes Villains, he does the exact same thing. He doesn't have to stand there and take shit and side with Stephanie, but he doesn't like James. He doesn't like the way that James talks to her. And so he sticks up and stays on that side and should have been voted out in 17th place and instead goes all the way to Final Five. So it's like, that's just, he'd rather take the high road. And it's always been to his detriment, pretty much every time.
Yeah. I mean, he threw his luxury item on the line for his group too. So it's like, he is just, he is that good old boy archetype that we then see later in Survivor, where he wants to do what's honorable, integrity, all that. And he doesn't think Jerry has that, and it would demean his character if he let that move on for the game when you have people like Roger and Elizabeth on your tribe.
His sense of honor is so fascinating because we just saw it. We're coming off a season. Also, Colby's like, let's be real. Colby probably hasn't watched Survivor in the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. And so if he's like getting called on to be on the season, he's probably going to check out season 48 just to see what it's all about. And he legitimately sees a guy who's like, I'm preaching honor and loyalty.
And Colby's probably sword for my alliance member.
This, again, like, they're the same archetype. So how does he adjust? Can he adjust? That's the big question. And that's the big question we've seen throughout all of this preseason coverage. Can Colby adjust his game? Because what we saw in Heroes vs. Villains was someone who couldn't really adjust his game. And the only reason you might argue this particular episode doesn't perfectly sum up Colby, there's one thing that doesn't happen in this episode for him. He doesn't win individual immunity.
I was just going to say that. And what's so fascinating is it's the last time he doesn't win. And in fact, he wins 7 of the next 8 challenges to end the season. He only loses one reward challenge. Tina wins it. So Colby literally wins 8 of the last 10 challenges on this season. Now, a lot of people say, well, then he comes back and he's not that good at challenges by Heroes Villains. Look at who he's competing against by the end of the season. They'd voted out Alicia. They vote out Jerry. Then they vote out Nick. So by the end of the season, when he goes on his run, he's against Tina, Roger, and Elizabeth and Keith. Like, of course he's going to keep winning. They're all like, and the way the challenges used to run were very physical. It was a very physical thing. And a lot of people want to say, well, his game didn't adjust and all that. I agree on that. But I also think that people truly underestimate, if he gets to Final 3 of Heroes versus Villains, he would have been sitting next to a villain. He probably wins that season. People don't want to really think about that. But if he sits next to Sandra and Parv, he probably wins that season. If he's just like Parv and Russell, he wins. Sorry, you cut out. What was that?
There's a debate for Sandra, if him winning against. But Parv and Russell, 100%.
I don't know about Sandra, though, because Sandra loses Rupert's vote then, and it goes to Colby. And that's a big one for Sandra. And I think that, you know, Rupert was probably talking up Sandra a lot in those Ponderosas. Now it's going to Colby.
But Sandra, anywho, this is not Heroes versus Villains podcast.
I'm just going to say that Colby is one vote away from winning season 2. He's not far away from winning probably one of the most difficult seasons to win, which is Heroes versus Villains. And he makes a monster strategic move in All-Stars with a massive target on his back. And is really, he makes it deeper in All-Stars than he should have, right? Mm-hmm. He's coming into that season probably being seen as a bigger threat and legend than most of the winners. I'd argue maybe all of the winners. And I don't think there's anybody who's not a winner who could compete with him at that point. So, like, that's what's pretty crazy about Colby. People want to underestimate it. But then when you look at this episode, are people going to watch this episode? If we're telling you this is the defining Colby episode, if you watch this episode as a player going to play season 50 and you see this, do you say, wow, Colby's really good at this game? Or do you say, that's a guy who's loyal to a fault? I'm going to work with him. And yes, that's a leading question. That is a rhetorical leading question.
Yeah, he's absolutely the latter. And even then, again, he's emotional in this episode. And that's something that new era Survivor players can manipulate. Someone like Kyle can manipulate that situation to his favor, and Colby's not going to be any of the wiser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I also see him being kind of a dick. So, like, when he doesn't get along with certain personalities, is he going to exile himself a little bit like he has in other seasons? out back, he just happened to have the majority of the tribe be on his side in opinions. But like, he does get very opinionated and kind of my way or the highway on my thoughts on this person, which lead to the emotional votes and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see who he gels with on his tribe, and is it the majority opinion?
That's a great point, because he can't play strictly emotional. Like, you can't have an episode like this one in the new era. You can't have an episode where you say, we got to get rid of Jerry because I don't like her in season 50. You do that, you're going to probably go next. Like, that's just crazy talk. But do you think, I really think this is going to happen. And again, we're pre-recording these. So if you're listening, and I say this on all of our, on all of our episodes of the other series we're doing of Everything You Need to Know About, if the tribes are out, we don't know them yet. I really feel like production and Survivor love Joe and Colby so much that they are going to put these two guys on the same tribe to start the season. I really think it's going to happen. And I think they are going to be peas in a damn pod, because they are 5 years apart in age and play the same damn game. That's really what I think is, maybe I'm totally wrong, but that's what I think is going to happen. And so, McKenna, what you're saying, is he going to get a little protection early on where he's getting some Colby people on his starting tribe? Because I do think if Colby ends up with Ceree, which I don't think would happen, like, him and Ceree are going to butt heads just like they did the first time around. Like, he's going to have a hard time with some of the people on this cast. It's just a matter of, is he going to be in the majority, as he has been in all of his seasons, with the exception of early Heroes Villains, then he gets into the majority, or is he going to be in the minority like he was when it was him, Tom, and Stephanie trying to stand up to a group of six? And we see the way he treats Sugar. I know we're only supposed to be talking about honeymoon or not, but it comes out again. Like, the Sugar situation, he's as aggravated by her as he is by Jerry back in season two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think you mentioned something really important about this episode early on, and that is the fact that Colby, Tina, and Keith are the three who really dictate this. And this is not the only time this season that we see that trio dictate things. Colby, when he isn't working closely with other people, it's kind of like a chicken with his head cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he's not like in kind of an onion alliance, I don't know where he stands. If he's in a group of like six and there's no core, where does he kind of like fit in with people's plans? I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that that's like, you know, we're obviously so deep into the season by the time we get to honeymoon or not that we know where everybody stands, right? And it's such an iconic rivalry of him versus Jerry. We know him, Tina, and Keith get along. Can he find a five-person alliance on an eight-person starting tribe with the personality that he has? Like, is that going to work with enough people on this cast? I know it skews older and all that. Look, he got along with Keith and Tina, and Mad Dog loved him too. And this was way back in season two. Who doesn't he get along with? The person who's closest to him in age, Jerry and Amber. He doesn't really get along with either of them. So is he still going to be that kind of old soul in an older body, of course, where he is getting along much better with these older players? And are there enough of them to put on his tribe and still keep the tribe somewhat even from a fairness and challenges perspective? Because Colby's not very good at challenges anymore. And I always say he's really not that good at challenges in the first season either. He just happens to be around a lot of really weak people. Like, his run is not as impressive as Terry's or Ozzy's or Tom's. That's just true.
But when you have that title, I know Wigglesworth has it, Jenna Maraska has it, but like, when you have that title of I've won the most immunity challenges in a season that Joe was clamoring for, that is still like a notch on your bedpost.
True. And especially when it's considered like that's the longest standing record in Survivor history.
Yeah. Season two, it started, hasn't been broken. Well, actually, technically the women's record is the longest standing, because that was season one.
That's true. You're right. But however, this record hasn't been broken yet. And my question for Colby is, based on his trajectory and what we saw in Heroes versus Villains, how could he come out as anything other than some old curmudgeon in this season? I almost feel like we're going to get Randy Bailey out there instead of Colby.
No. Rewatch Heroes Villains. He's so funny. He's so bitter early on. And then he's having the, when he gets the chance to vote out Candace, never been a happier man on the face of the planet than Colby when he realizes, whoa, we can just vote out Candace tonight, Roop. And Rupert's like, oh, screw her. That's the happiest I've ever seen two grown men on an island. It was insane. So I don't know.
That's exactly how Randy Bailey would act too, Phil. Think about it.
But yeah, that's true. No, that is true. I get what you're saying because he is, and this episode proves it, he is so committed to the people he's committed to, but he is so against the people he's against.
Yeah.
I don't think you can play, like we talked about Kyle in our last episode. Kyle plays the best up and down, up and down, up and down, make everybody feel good about themselves game you could play. I don't think Colby can do that, but maybe he won't have to. I don't know. We'll see. It's not a honeymoon, by the way. Jerry gets burned out. It's not a honeymoon.
Sorry.
It's not a honeymoon. All right. We're going to be doing Joe next week. So there you go. Or next week, next time. I don't know when we're doing it. But Joe is going to be the next episode that we are going to be putting out. And we are going to be talking about a masterclass in deception, which will shock all of you is the Eva episode. I know. All of you are absolutely floored right now. You cannot believe that that's going to be Joe's defining episode. That's going to blow your mind. That's the episode we chose. So we'll be talking about that next time. Thank you all so much for listening. Make sure you go check out the two episodes we recorded before this of Jenna and Kyle. And yeah, we'll see you next time. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/specialist. I've been forgetting to do that one because I'm not used to doing that on recordings. I'm only used to doing that live. So become a patron, patreon.com/specialist. And we'll see you next time.
All right.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.